Just like to say this morning, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord, to sing praises unto Him and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. We hope and pray that something will be said from the word of God this morning that will stir up all of our pure minds. It's just to call us just to think as we journey through this life. Good to see each and every one that's present here this morning. I know that we all have busy schedules, but we thank God this morning that each and every one of us saw fit to take time out to come out here and to sit and to listen at a portion of God's holy and divine word. And whenever we become so busy that we do not have time to sit, to listen at the word of God, we have come just a little too busy. So we thank God for your presence this morning. We thank God for those that are visiting with us. We always welcome you this morning to the house of the Lord. We want you to know that you are our honored guest this morning. And our brothers and sisters that are traveling this morning from different locations, we hope to have a chance to fellowship with you after the worship service, that we might greet each other and get to know each other. But this is a wonderful day. The selection just led this morning that Christ has risen from the dead. This is the great day. This day, the first day of the week. This is the day that Christ resurrected from the dead upon the first day of the week. And we're here this morning to celebrate it and to remember the price that he paid for our sins. So hope and pray this morning that we will find something in this lesson this morning that I have titled here, The Day of the Lord. You know, in the context of those scriptures this morning, of the old book, this is a phrase that's commonly used in the Old Testament, is the day of the Lord. And sometime when this phrase was mentioned, the day of the Lord, it spoke of an imminent time, things that were going to happen right away. But when God spoke of the day of the Lord, he will always speak of the future as well. And so we want to look at this lesson this morning and see how this lesson applied to us today. Now, Joel was speaking to the children of God in Jerusalem, in Judea, the southern region of Jerusalem. He spoke to them concerning the day of the Lord. And notice what he says here in the book of Joel, chapter 1. He said, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Penuah. Now, Joel is teaching us this morning that these words that he's speaking of came directly from God. And notice what he says. He says in verse 2, he said, hear this, O men, and give ear to all the inhabitants of the land. Have this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? He said, tell ye your children of it. And let your children tell their children and their children another generation. But Joel is saying that we as parents need to teach our children about the successes and the things that how God has blessed us, and also our failures, so they do not make the same mistake that we made. So we teach our children about some of the failures in this life as well as the success, how God has blessed us. And our children need to teach their children. Notice what he says here in verse 4. He said, that which the plumber warrens have left, have the locusts eaten. And that which the locusts have left, have the cankerworms eaten. And that which the cankerworm has left, as the caterpillars eaten. Now, Joel was speaking of a plague that was coming upon the people of God because of their sins. You see, the people of God were praying that God would come and punish their enemies, not realizing that God, when he came, would punish sin. And so this is a lesson for us. As we pray today for God to punish some of the things, the evil in this land, make sure that our house is in order. Because God comes to punish sin, and he is not a respecter of person. And so Joel shocked the people of God when they were praying for God to come and deal with their enemies, not realizing that God's wrath would fall on those also that were unfaithful. And you look at this. Those locusts that God used in that day and time, the Bible says in Joel chapter 2, that they were so many that they could not be numbered. Can you imagine that? Locusts flying over the land, so many that you couldn't even number the locusts that was flying in the air. And the Bible says it was a day of darkness. It was in the morning when they flew over, but there were so many that you couldn't see the sun. And when they land to the ground, they ate up all the vegetation. And that's what the Bible is speaking of. That those locusts was just like a mighty army of men that attacked the land of Jerusalem because of the sin of the people. You want to know what bring on the wrath of God? It's sin. That's what brings on the wrath of God. And that's what we'll look at this morning in this lesson. But before we go any further, we count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to always go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us humble ourselves while the one has been appointed to lead us in prayer. In this lesson, we want to go this morning to the old book, again, Joel. And as we study God's Word, just a few scriptures to remind us this morning. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, in verses 5 and 6, the Bible says that every word of God is pure, and he's a shield to them that put their trust in him. Say, add not to his word, lest he reprove thee, and you be found a liar. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, in verse 3, the Bible says, what if some do not believe the faith of God? So shall they unbelief make the faith of God without void? And the Bible says, nay. So let God be true, and every man a liar. So anytime anyone says anything that's differently from what we see in this book, the Bible, the Word of God, they are lying. The Bible teaches us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, in verse 8. It says, the grass withered and the flowers faded, but the word of our Lord shall endure forever. And that's what we're holding on to this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, is the eternal word of God. That's what we're putting our trust in. So as we look at this lesson this morning, let us glean from these passages of scripture that Joel is teaching this morning. He teaches us this morning that the plagues came upon the people of God because of their sins. And as we know from the old book of Genesis, that Adam and Eve at one time lived in the Garden of Eden. and they could have lived there forever as long as they obeyed God. You think the Bible give us a glimpse and a picture on how beautiful that garden was? The only thing they had to do was dress it, and God gave them a command. He said, you can eat of all the trees in this garden with exception of the tree of evil. Said, the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And of course, we know that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They ate from the tree of knowledge. At one time, the only thing they knew was what was good. That's the only thing they knew of what was good. They knew nothing of anything that was evil until they ate from that tree. And the Bible says now they have become just like us, knowing good from evil. That's what God knows. God knows good from evil. We don't. We don't know what's good for us. You know how I know that? Because when you read Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. For it's not in man that walketh can direct his steps. We need guidance. We don't know what's good for us. You see, this is what happens when we obey the gospel of Christ, is that we go back to that state of knowing what is good. We go back depending on God's word and letting God's word teach us what is good. Because on our own, we don't know. The Bible says that in the book of Proverbs, says that there's a way that seems right in our own eyes. Is but it tells us that, but the end thereof. This is in book of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. It said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we don't know what is good for us. God has to teach us and help us to realize what is good. I'm quite sure some of us have ridden around town and we've seen in some of these nightclubs where they have the sign says happy hour. And people go there thinking that they're having a good time. They go there and they get drunk. They are violated. They go there, get an automobile accident. They get hurt. They get killed. But the sign says happy hour. They're thinking they're going to have a good time when it's actually nothing but a bad time. You see, God has to teach us what is good. You know what the Bible also says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You know why God doesn't want us to lean to our own understanding? Because our understanding is limited. It's fallible. Subject to make errors. That's why we're not to lean to our own understanding, but trusting God to help us and lead us in the right way. With that in mind this morning, I just want to deal with these passages of scriptures here. I want us to just go back to the book of Joel, and we'll look at these few passages of scripture here. Won't hold very long this morning, Brother Shane. Brother Shane said, when I say that, I always speak a long time when I say I'm not going to hold very long, but it will be short this morning. I just want us to go to the book of Joel, chapter 2, and we'll deal with a few passages of scripture there. In the day of the Lord. Joel teaches us in verse 1, he says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm
in my holy mountains. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Notice in verse 2 it says, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There have not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. The Bible says, a fire devoured them before them, and behind them a flame burning, and the land as if the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them.
Gerald mentioned the Garden of Eden in these passages of scriptures. We remember that when Adam and Eve sinned, they were driven out of that garden, and they couldn't go back. There were fire around the tree where they couldn't retreat back into the garden. Can you imagine this? They can't go back into the garden, and the land that's before them is on fire. Now we're talking about the day of the Lord. Who can hide from God? Where can we run to get away when we're on the wrong side of God? No man can abide in it, the Bible teaches us. You look, you can't go back to the garden in the land that before you is desolate and is on fire. We have nowhere to go. Speaking of the day of the Lord, let us notice something here this morning. The Bible says that in verse 4, it said, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as their horsemen, so shall they run. It said, like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the nose of a flame of fire that devoured the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. The Bible says, before their face the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. Speaking of the day of the Lord, they have nowhere to run. The Bible says that that day of the Lord come, and it came in those days, and it will come in our days as well. The Bible speaks of the blackness. If we want to sum the day of the Lord up, we can sum it up like this: tremble and fear. Men will be trembling and fear. Notice what the Bible teach. It says that they shall run like mighty men in verse 7. Said they shall climb in the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their reins. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Speaking of the day of the Lord, the Bible says when that day come, many will try to commit suicide and not die. Can you imagine that? The day of the Lord, people trying to run and hide from God, trying to kill themselves, but they can't die in that day. The Bible tells us that the mountain will be skipping, and the men will run to the mountain and say, fall on us. And the mountain will speak back, no hiding place. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about the day of the Lord when it comes. He spoke about the day of the Lord came in the day of Noah, and the day of the Lord will come at the end of this age in our time. And we need to be ready and prepare ourselves for that great day. Once you notice, the Bible says that in verse 9, said they shall run and to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter into the windows like a thief. Said the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble
and the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Bible says, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is a strong and executed his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?
Who is able to stand in that day concerning the day of the Lord? No one will be able to stand. But the beautiful thing about God is that before God condemns a person, he always gives a person the chance to repent. And that's what he was calling on Israel, was to repent from their sins before his wrath would come. We are God, Israel, today. We are God's people today. And we need to be prepared for this great day, because we don't know when this day will come. We don't know. Today could be our last day. We don't know. That's why we need to be prepared, brothers and sisters and friends. I want to go on a little further into this lesson. I want us to look at these passages of scriptures in the book of Amos, chapter 5. And I want us to look at verse 18. The book of Amos, chapter 5, and verse 18, concerning the day of the Lord. Notice what Amos teach. He says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. He's speaking of God's people. Those that wanted the day of the Lord to come. Israel wanted God to come and punish their enemies. But Amos says, Amos shocked the people of God. He said, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Notice what he says. He says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. He said, to what end is it for you? If God comes, what end is it for us when he comes? If we're desiring the day of the Lord to come, then what end is it for us? How are we going to abide in that day? Notice what Amos says. He says, the day of the Lord is darkness and not light. It's a terrible day. And the Bible speaks of that in the book of Hebrews. It says, a terrible thing for a person to fall in the hands of a living God. Amos said, the day of the Lord will be just like this. Verse 18. He said, if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, and went into the house, and leaned on his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. That's how the day of the Lord would be. Can you imagine this? A person that's running from a lion, managed to get away from the lion, but he runs into a bear. He's able to get away from the bear and enter into his house and just to put his hand on the wall just to collect himself from running from the lion and the bear and get bit by a serpent. Who can run from God? Nobody. He said, that's how the day of the Lord will be. A person that's running from a lion, running to a bear, get away from the bear and run into his house, lean his hand on the wall, and get bit by a serpent. That's how the day of the Lord would be. I want just to look at another passage of scripture while we're in Amos chapter 5, and let us look at verse 20. It says, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not night, and very dark and no brightness in it? Notice what the Bible teaches in verse 21 says. God said, I hate and despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and
your fat offering, he said, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat beasts. He said, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, and I will not hear the melody of thy vows.
God is talking about false worship. So he hates false worship. People are pretending that they're worshiping God when they are not. He said, take those things away from me. You know what God wants? Is our pure hearts. Is our sincere heart in his worship service. Not a false worship. That's what God wants. He wants our hearts. Notice something else. There's a scripture that we often quote. And I want us to take a look at it this morning. Almost every Lord's Day in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't know where we ever really thought about these passages of scripture or not, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at verse 27. This is a passage of scriptures that we all need to take note of. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. Notice what the Bible teaches. He said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What the Bible is teaching this morning is that when we commune the body of Christ without a sincere heart, or we just come here this morning just because we don't want to get a call from a brother or sister saying, where were you last week? And we just take the Lord's Supper and then we back out the door. And really not remembering what Christ has done for us. And that's why we're here to commune his body and give thanks for shedding his blood upon that cross for us. The Bible says that God said we are just as guilty as those that crucified him. We are guilty of the body of Christ. He's talking about false worship. Something that we need to be thinking about at all times, brothers and sisters and friends, when we come before the Lord, is to remember the great price that Christ paid for each and every one of us. I want to give another passage of scriptures. The Bible teaches us in the book of Matthew, and we'll come to the conclusion of the lesson, the book of Matthew chapter 24, and I want us to look at verse 36, Matthew chapter 24, and verse 36, Jesus mentioned about the day of the Lord, and this is in writing, this is Jesus speaking this morning in these passages of scriptures. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, Jesus says, but the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven. He said, but my Father only. You see, what Jesus is teaching this morning, see, the Father knows something that the Son doesn't know. It is when God would bring an end to this age that you and I are living in. The day is coming. And just because it hadn't come, it doesn't mean it is not going to come. And we may think that, well, how long has it been since this world was created? And we may think that's a long time. You know what the Bible says? One day with God is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. God is not on the same timetable that we're on. And we may think that, well, you know, nothing is really going to happen. All this time, nothing's going to happen. Not realizing that God is not on the same time that we're on. One day is 1,000 years with God. 1,000 years is one day. And Psalm 94, the book of Psalm chapter 94, I believe is verse 3. It says that one day is 1,000 years. It's just like yesterday with God. And when that day is past, yesterday, the Bible says it's just like a watch in the night. That's all. A watch in the night. So God is not on the same timetable that we're on. And so don't let us get caught up thinking that just because it hadn't happened, the last day will come one day. It came in the day of the floods. We remember that? The Bible tells us that before the flood came, it had never rained before. And Noah preached for 120 years that it was going to rain, and the people didn't believe it because it had never rained. People went on about their ways. And the Bible said, Jesus said, it's going to be just like the day of Noah. That's what he says in his passage of scripture. He said, but the hour, and you know, some people have put numbers on when this world would end. That's what they're trying to figure out. They're not trying to get right. They're just trying to figure out when it's going to end. And it's not, God says that even Jesus don't know when that time will come. We need to spend our time trying to get right with God, because that day will come. The Bible says that in verse 37 said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Bible says, for in those days there were before the floods, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And verse 39 said, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now you think about this. We've been preaching this gospel for over 2,000 years. That one day, that the day of the Lord will come. But our Jehovah Witness friend don't believe that this world is going to be burned up. But the Bible teaches that it's going to happen. That this world is going to be burned up. Over 2,000 years we've been preaching the gospel, and people look and say, well, you know what? There's nothing going to happen. We're not realizing that, remember, 1,000 years with God is just one day. We're looking at it as a long time. And one day is 1,000 years. But the Bible tells us that that flood came, and we don't need to forget this. And we need to teach this to our children. That the flood came, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Until all the mountains were covered. And if you couldn't live in water, you expired. It rained. And the Bible says that in that ark, there were 8 souls. Noah and his family. Out of a whole nation of people, only 8 souls were saved. You know why they were saved? Because they were where God had appointed them to be, in that ark. You know what the Bible tells us in these last days that you and I are living in? This is where we have to be. Now, a lot of people may take offense to that. But you mean to tell me I have to be over in Longwood at the Church of Christ in order for me to be saved? That's not what I'm saying. We have to be in the church that Christ built. And this church in Longwood teaches the Bible without adding or taking from God's word. There are a lot of churches out here today. They have this name, Church of Christ. You walk inside that building and you can't find what they're teaching in the Bible. It's not the true church. This is the true church here in Longwood. It teaches what the Bible, Jesus says, upon this rock, he says in Matthew, I believe that's 18, in verse 13. Jesus says, upon this rock, he said, I will build my church. Let me go there and make sure. Matthew 16.
Matthew 16 and verse 13.
Jesus says, upon this rock, he said, I will build my church. Now you think about this. They had a lot of synagogues and temples back then when Jesus made that statement. It'd be just like someone going downtown here in Sanford say, you know what, I'm thinking about building me a downtown. And we say, you're crazy. We already have a downtown. And that's what the people were saying back in those days. We don't need another church. But Jesus says, I will build my church. And said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He was speaking of his death, that his death would not prevent him from building this church. So Jesus built his church among all the temples and all the synagogue. Jesus built his temple. And you know what? God put salvation in the church that Jesus built. And it's what he tells us today. This is where salvation is. If we want to be protected from the wrath of God, which is to come, this is where we have to be. Is in the church that Christ built. Because that's what he's coming back for. It's his church. Now, what's wrong with people going to a wedding? The Bible says that's what they were doing. If they had a wedding to go to, they went to a wedding. If they had a dinner to go to, they went to a dinner. What's wrong with that? Nothing is wrong with that. The problem is that people are not preparing themselves for this day to come. That's the problem. The Bible said they were going on as if everything was all right until the flood came. And you tell people today that you have to be in the church of Christ. And they look at you like you got two heads on your shoulder. But we're not talking about a specific location. We're talking about the church that Christ built. That's where we have to be, brothers and sisters and friends. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. Says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then? That we have been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God, which is to come. If we want to be protected from the fire, that day it was water. This day it's going to be fire. It's going to be a different. The Bible says the same word of God, that day that held the water back until the flood came, is the same word of God today. It's preserving this world that we live in now until that day comes. The word of God. Hopefully something was said this morning from the Bible that will be helpful and instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds. It just calls us just to think as we journey through life. Brothers and sisters and friends, the nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, is not a door. The Dalai Lama is not a door. Rabboni and the black Jews is not a door. This New Age religion and all its cult leaders is not a door. The Bible tells us in the book of St. John, chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the door. He's that door. That's the door we have to enter in. And the church of Christ is that door. St. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We got to come through Jesus Christ. We come to God by first the hearing of his word. The Bible tells us that the book of Hebrews 10 and 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After hearing it, the Bible teaches us we must believe it. In the book of St. John, chapter 20 and verse 29 and 30, the Bible says, truly did many signs Jesus did in the presence of his disciples that are not mentioned in this book. He says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing have life through his name. There's enough information in this Bible right here that will cause us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says there's a lot of things that Jesus didn't put in this book, but these are written. A lot of people say, well, you know, some missing books. Don't worry about that. Just try to obey what's in here. There's enough in this Bible here to keep us busy for the rest of our lives. And after believing it, we must repent. Luke 13:3 says, I'll tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We have to turn. Once we hear God's word, once we believe it, we must repent. We must change from those ways. And after repentance comes the good confession. The good confession is not confessing your sins. The good confession is confessing Christ. When Christ made that confession, his life was taken away from him, that he was the Son of God. When we make that confession, we live. That's good confession. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans 10:9-10, if thou wilt believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It says, with the heart men believe it unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we must make that good confession. But you hear God's word, you believe, repent, confess. And this is the final step here that puts you in Christ, is the watery grave of baptism. We are not in Christ until we are baptized. Just because someone sprinkles some water on a person, that's not baptism. You have to know why you're being baptized, because here is where you get your sins washed away, is in the watery grave of baptism. And that's the only way. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians 3:27, says, for as many as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and this is where we put him on, is in the watery grave of baptism. Then we be walking in the newness of life. We become children of God. When we stumble and fall and make mistakes, God is just to forgive us of our sins. The Bible tells us that when we sin, where we shame the body of Christ, we are to repent, confess, and ask for the prayers of the righteous, of the church, that we might be reinstated back to our fellowship with our sisters and brothers, that we have sinned, a sin that has shamed the body of Christ. But this morning, if we just need prayer while we stand and sing the chosen selection, we may make a good confession.